real quick before we do the message, really want to encourage you to be back here with us next Sunday, actually Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We have three key elements of successful parenting. And I think we have some folks who are going to watch the kids, so that some of the older folks who maybe are finished with raising the kids are going to watch some of the kids. And I really, really want you to encourage you to be here. Bring your friends, anybody that would like to come. Then Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, Intimacy and Marriage. This is all with Dr. S.M. Davis. He has done many things on the family. Be a real blessing. Sunday morning all day with 9:30, Expectations, the Enemy of Relationships and Gratitude. Listen, there's a lot of things that kind of put a little problem in there in the middle of our relationships. That's next Sunday morning at 9:30. 10:30, are you offended or unoffendable? And the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And there's a deal there that we got to watch out. So that's next Sunday morning, 10:30, and 6 o'clock, Breaking Family Curses. You ever say, well, you know, this is where our family is, where we've always been, and there's no way out. There is a way out. Okay, there is a way out. And Breaking Family Curses, that's Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Then Monday evening, 7 p.m., The High Cost of Anger. There's a lot of things that just destroys a family, destroys a marriage. And people can put on a good show. The fact is, it shows up. And I would really, really, really encourage you to come to any of those. Of course, all day on Sunday. And I really want to encourage you to be here. Take as much advantage of those as you can. And that's next Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and 6 o'clock in the evening, and then Sunday. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. And you can turn to Romans chapter 5. You have a Bible with you. Romans chapter 5. And Lord willing, won't be too awful long here. But I want you to see something. I was thinking about what our first responders do. And in the midst of all that, thinking about what our Savior has done for us. Romans chapter 5. Again, I appreciate each of you being here this morning. It says, therefore, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now listen to these last few verses. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I'm going to pray here, and for a few moments this morning, I'm going to talk on this topic, looking beyond the guilt and seeing the need. Looking beyond the guilt and seeing the need. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for each one you brought away here this morning. And Lord, I want right now for us just to kind of think about your word. I thank you so much for the example that our first responders give in looking beyond the guilt and seeing a need. Well, Lord, I pray that you bless our time. We ask for your Holy Spirit. You know, I can't do it. I can't do what needs to be done. Your Holy Spirit must do it. So Lord, I ask you to speak through. May we be spirit-filled hearers as well. And we give you the praise for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. When first responders arrive at the scene, not always, but many times they have been called because someone did something they shouldn't have done. Not always, but many times. Someone has committed a crime. Someone has hurt someone else. Sometimes the people were just not thinking and did something unwise, stupid. I've done some things quite unwise myself. Yet, you know, they do not come to that person and say, well, you got yourself into this mess. Don't expect me to help you out. You're on your own. You deserve what you got. They don't do that. Our responders may come across someone that has been hurt while they were hurting others. And yet they do not deal with them as the guilty party they are. They care for them as if they're not guilty. Firefighters and rescue personnel have had to save people in chimneys because they've been trying to rob the place. How many people have been hurt or have hurt someone because they were drinking or drugging and driving? Then they need someone like our first responders to save their life. I would find it very difficult to do what you all do. I grew up with a young man whose father was a firefighter, and my friend decided to be trained as EMT, and he rode the ambulance as a volunteer. That's something I couldn't do. We got nurses and doctors and so forth in our congregation. I go in there, and I'm glad to go in the room and pray with them, but I couldn't do what they do. When my buddy and I were just out of high school, my friend was on call, and he responded to an accident. It was an accident where a motorcyclist and his girlfriend were stopped at an intersection, waiting to make a left-hand turn, and a drunk driver that was coming toward them crossed the line and hit them full speed. It was a bad scene. My friend worked on them for 15 minutes, he told me, before he realized that it was the little sister of a mutual friend of ours and her boyfriend. It was awful. It wasn't their fault. No one wanted to be there, but someone had to make the effort to save them. But we lost both of them. One night when I was young, I was riding with my father from Westminster, Maryland, over to Hampstead where I lived. It was a foggy night, and if you didn't know the roads, it could be a little dangerous because there were a few blind turns that could come up on you rather quickly. And we were coming east down around a turn just before you get to Snydersburg Road. And all of a sudden, my dad looked to his left and he shouted, "There's a wreck." And he pulled the car over, he put the flashers on, and says, "You stay here." I was just a kid, and I said, where are you going, Dad? He says, "It looks like they may be hurt. Someone has to help them." They had been drinking, ran off the road, up a bank, then the car rolled over, and they had been thrown from the car. And I remember hearing the one man yell, "My buddy's hurt real bad. My buddy's hurt. You have to help him. I think he's dying." It was obvious that this man had been drinking. My dad calmed the man as much as he could. He ran down to a nearby house to call for the ambulance. And he came back up and directed the traffic around the site and stayed there until the ambulance came. I remember when he got back into the car, it smelled like alcohol mixed with blood. You ever smell blood and the alcohol? It was all over him. I asked Dad how he could do that, and the answer was, someone needed to, or someone would have died. And I was thinking about that the last few weeks. And I've been thinking about how first responders show up, and you watch the news. My wife can't hardly stand to watch the news, but I just feel like I need to know what's going on. And you see so many things these days, one thing after another. And someone has done something they shouldn't have done, and yet the first responders show up and they don't ask questions. They don't take a survey. They don't have them fill out a form to see if they're innocent. They look beyond the guilt to save a life.
That's what our Savior did. The song we sang just a few moments talks about standing before the judgment seat of Christ, if you will. Standing before the Lord. It kind of gives a picture of the judge's room. It's not exactly as it's portrayed, but I think it gives the point the way we should. We stand there condemned because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We stand before the Lord God Almighty guilty. And yet He looks at us and He says, wait a minute. I know you. I love you. I already gave my life to save you. He puts the gavel down. Case dismissed. Not guilty. What do you mean you're not guilty? How can he not be? Oh, we're still sinners. But you see, it's paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. And we stand before him justified as though we're not guilty. Listen, a couple points I want to make this morning. First one is this. There's no life if the rescuer doesn't show up. We will never enjoy life if the rescuer does not come to save us. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What's he saying? He said, first of all, I'm done. I'm as good as dead. But then someone comes and looks at me and says, I don't care what you did. That's not the point. That's not right now. That's not the point. The point is, are you going to stay alive? We may be guilty. And we may, listen, in real life, they may have to deal with the guilt later. But the point right now is, are they still alive? Not only are they still alive, but it says, listen, if they die, they lose everything that was supposed to happen from that moment for the rest of their life. But because not only are they not going to be dead, they have hope for the rest of their life. You realize when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we receive Christ as the payment for our sin, not only do we not go to hell, but we have a hope of glory. We have hope of a new life. Many folks have gone through a tragic time. They were that close to death, maybe even passed on, were brought back, and they wake up and they have a whole new look on life. All of a sudden, they appreciate what's possible. All of a sudden, every morning is a gift. The smell of the rose is sweeter. The sky, the blue is bluer. And the sun is brighter. And the joy of being with someone you love is more joyous than ever before because of what they have. The fact is, that's what we have. We have Christ. I don't have, listen, for those who have Christ, we'll never die spiritually. We have hope. Being justified doesn't mean that we didn't do something wrong. We have hope to live another day if the rescuer comes. And when the rescuer comes, we need to obey. Watch this. We need to obey the rescuer if we expect to make it. He says, this is what you got to do. You're going to have to do it. Listen, there's no time or room for arguing with the rescuer. This is what you're going to have to do. I've been here before. But that doesn't make sense. Just trust me. Most likely, if we were all that smart, we wouldn't be in this mess anyway. So maybe we ought to listen to the rescuer. Sometimes a mess is not our fault, but we are there nonetheless, and we had better do what the rescuer says or we will be dead anyway. The rescuer comes to rescue regardless of the character of the person. I'll say that again. The rescuer comes to rescue regardless of the character of the person. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have the strength to do it. We are helpless at that point. If someone doesn't help us, we're dead. But in due time, the right time, the proper time, just in time, the rescuer comes and puts his life on the line so that we might live. The rescuer does not ask us if we have been obeying the laws or if we are good to our neighbors. The rescuer doesn't look to see what race you are or whether you've been faithful to your spouse or whether you're gay or straight. The rescuer just goes right to work to save the life. The rescuer's not condoning or justifying what we have done, who we are, or what we are. You may even be dying because of something you did that you thought was okay, but it wasn't. His job is there to save your life. Our Savior comes the same way. Not condoning, but in this point in time, we need to save a life. We cannot save ourselves. We are most likely not in this mess because we were behaving correctly. We're helpless without the rescuer, trapped in floodwaters, trapped by the flames in a house or a car, pinned down by the world that's falling down around us, and a rescuer comes in the right time. We may be living a life that's falling apart. Our marriage may be falling apart, our family, our health, but there's a Savior that's ready, able, and willing to save if we're willing to call. You know, we all do some unwise things from time to time. What foolish things we do may not require the aid of a first responder, but it's still foolish. It's very easy to look at someone who has done something foolish and see them in a problem and shrug it off because they should have known better. When I was young, we used to say, "Didn't your mama teach you nothing?" You know, you do something stupid. "Didn't your mama teach you nothing?" I was going to say anything, but we really just said it that way. Nothing. The fact is, we're all foolish at one time or another. You see, why keep using that word foolish? Because Proverbs 24:9 says, "The thought of foolishness is sin." You know what? The famous last words, and one of them is, "Watch this." You know, all right. There's a little commercial on TV, and these guys are around the pool, and the ladies are all talking. The guys are trying to the pole vault into the pool when they miss it, and all this stuff. So, "Well, that was your husband, okay? All right. Well, here comes yours. All right, here we go." You know, and I don't want to get into all those things about, you know, who's foolish and who's wise and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, usually we did something stupid. You know, a lot of times our sin in our lives is just, we just thought, "Well, I can handle it. It'll be okay. We'll just," before long, 911, we need a call. We all do some unwise things. We're all sinners in our hearts. Except sometimes we're wise enough to not act on our foolish thoughts. That's good. But the Bible says in Romans 3:10, "For there's none righteous." No, not one. There's none that does right all the time. So why wouldn't it be that? No, but there's none that does right all the time. "For all have sinned," Romans 3:23 tells us, "and come short of the glory of God." Short of perfection. We've come up short. If rescuers only rescued perfect people, they would have no job to do at all, because there are none. Let me say this. Foolishness brings consequences. Foolishness brings consequences. Why do people have to go out in the river when it's flooding? Just to see the rescuers that will really come? Why do they drag race on Route 30 at 3 in the morning? Just to see if telephone poles really snap at 110 miles an hour. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What I earn for being a sinner, and sometimes just the thought of foolishness is sin. What I earn for being a sinner is death. There's a consequence. What we earn, watch, what we earn for being foolish can be death. But the fact is, these first responders don't want us to die. And neither does your Savior. Years ago, I think I was 11, 10, 11, 12. So I guess it's around early 70s. And I don't know whether you remember this, Linda, or not, but there was a young lady, gal in our area, who had been told to stay home. She was interested in this boy, and she was not supposed to go out, but she did. But she thought that she could get back in a certain time before mom and dad would find out, because they were going to be here or there. And so she went out. Meantime, her father, who was a first responder, got a call. And so he left the house. He wasn't going to be there when she got back. He left the house to make this call. And it was a bad call. There had been some young people out, and they were going too fast on the road, and they didn't make the turn. They hit the guardrail, but the guardrail twisted and literally sliced the car in half, including the young lady in the passenger seat. The man went to the scene. Believing his daughter was in bed, found her just in time for her to say, "Sorry, Daddy. Sorry, Daddy." Now listen, we can tell some stories, some sad stories, and we can cry, but the fact is, this is real. We need to deal with this. You see, there's wages to our sin. We can't shrug it off. Now listen, there are first responders who go to these places. They see these things. The rest of us, we watch the TV and we click past it, you know, and we go home, we go down and get our glass of milk and go to sleep. Because it's not a reality to us, but it is to them. And to be honest with you, if you sat in my chair in my office, you've seen sin destroy people. I've seen people say, "Well, I know that I probably should do this and receive Christ and get this straightened out, but not right now. There's some things I want to do. Not yet. Maybe sometime, preacher." The rescuer says, "Listen, take my hand, because it's now or never." On a lighter side, the story is told of a gentleman who saw the floods coming. And he was sitting on his front porch, and it was coming up down. The street kind of turned into a river, and they came by in the Humvee and said, "Sir, I think we're evacuating this area. You need to get in here and go along with us." He said, "No, that's fine. The Lord's going to take care of me." About 2 hours later, he's hanging out the second story window, and a boat comes by. And he says, sir, you're going to have to come because the flood's here. You've got to come now. So, nope, Lord's going to take care of me. About an hour later, he's on the roof. A helicopter comes by and says, sir, grab a hold of the rope. You need to come. Come on, we have to go now. Says, nope, Lord's going to take care of me. Well, he drowned. He ended up in heaven. And he went up to the Lord and said, why didn't you save me? I prayed. I told everybody you were going to save me. I sent you a Humvee and a boat and a helicopter. What did you want? There's a rescuer who's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, I want you. I know you. I love you. I've already died to save you. Will you come? The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, when we dial 911, we expect them to be there. And they said, well, you do. It took them 15 minutes, and everybody complains because these people had to stop what they were doing, get in the car, travel several miles, get in the vehicle, get over to where you are, and they're complaining because it took 15 minutes to get there. God says, I will save you in a moment. Just call on me. You all could probably tell some stories of times when you were able to save someone from loss and destruction. Here's how our Savior did it. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in our passage, you can look at it. It says, watch. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Now, it's hard to find someone who will do this. And there really are very few that we can label righteous. Yet, peradventure, possibly, perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die, to work up the nerve to die. But see, God commendeth his love toward us, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took our sin and our hell for us so that we can have the opportunity to live. Jesus comes to our side and he stands where we stand and identifies with us and our sin. First responders don't want us to die, but they are not God, and sometimes they can't stop it. But God is God. God can stop the death that we will receive the life. It says verse 9, much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. When Jesus died on the cross, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord had put all of our sin on him. He has no fellowship with sin. So he had God to turn his back on his only son, let him die with our sins. And a little while it says, it is finished. To thy hands commit my spirit. He gave his life. His death was in our place because the wages of sin is death. But he didn't stay dead. Third day he rose again, proving all our sins are paid for. All of them. If he's still dead, he's still paying. He's no longer paying because it's all paid for. What's paid for? All of our sins. So everyone you've ever committed from the day you were born until the day you die, paid for. But have you called? Whosoever makes that 911 call shall be saved. We're all in a mess, especially when we cause our own mess. Got some thief calling from a rescue because he's in the chimney. And as humbling as it may be, we need to make that call. Some of you may have done some things and you even hated to make the call because you thought, this is going to be embarrassing. They're going to call the ambulance. They're going to wrap me up. They're going to take it down. They're going to put on a siren. There he goes. Well, it's either, well, when, especially when it's that or death. Don't be so foolish to take death. God's offering the opportunity for us to call. And the fact is, this is life, and none of us are going to get out of it alive. But when it's our time to go, we had better had a time that we called on the Savior to save us. We are guilty, and God knows it. But God sees us as if we're not. We're justified to be saved because we have been pardoned. We're pardoned because we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed because He bought us, paid for us with the price of His own blood. And we come before the judge, and the judge is Jesus. And Jesus looks at us and He says, wait a minute. I know you. I love you. I gave my life to save you. Your sins are no longer counted against you. Case dismissed. I set you free. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts here this morning. I thank you for our emergency responders. I thank you for their willingness to serve. I thank you for our folks here, their willingness to kind of take, give some time to them to honor them today. And Lord, we thank you for being that ultimate emergency responder, the one who comes to save our lives, to save our souls for all eternity. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.